Shalom, great family, and a warm welcome to the first international online Sunday service of the year 2021, the year of the Spirit life. This indeed is our year, a year where we will live a life from above, where we will see everything from a perspective that is supernatural. It's not a theme, it's a lifestyle. And indeed it is our year. We look forward to what the Lord has in store for us in this marvelous, marvelous year. As we are led on by his friend, Prophet Emmanuel Makandiwa. I'm Pastor Kwaramba, joined by Pastor Chikuni.
Good to be here.
In a few moments, we will be led into that heavenly place by the great prophet, man of God.
Amazing time to be here.
The year of the Spirit life.
Amazing. It's for us, by the way.
Indeed. Indeed. You know, many, many things about the crossover evening were spectacular. And I would like to take it even from the very first moment that we laid our eyes on the prophet of God. You know, the bespoke ensemble, the way that he was attired, very, very different from the way that he has dressed on crossover evenings for the duration of the time that he's ministered. Very, very unique. And it speaks to the uniqueness of this year. The setup, it was online as well, speaks to the uniqueness of this year. And in a time where the enemy has, in a sense, jacked up his approach and intensified the will that he has and his desire to penetrate into the human system and begin to control the will of man. Finally, at this special time, the Lord has seen it fit to bring down a dimension and a level of a reality of the operations of the kingdom of heaven like we've never known them before. Spirit life.
I was saying to myself a couple of days ago, after just having a recap, we need to move into that dimension yesterday.
Right.
And we have a man who has been in this year before we came into this year. And he knows what is in store for us. And he brings such a theme, our father, the voice, Prophet Emmanuel Makandiwa. Obviously, trying to give us a lifestyle that will make us pull through. That's right. And for me, Pastor, this is a different year.
Indeed. I'm very hungry.
What am I hungry for? That lifestyle. What am I hungry for? Doing more of the doing rather than talking. So I'm one of those people under pressure. I know my brothers are, my sisters are out there, and things are happening out there.
That's right.
And what I'm looking for, especially this morning, this year, revolves around the theme, number one. And number two, revolves around the practicality of approaching the environment that we are in. And I thank God we have the voice in our midst this morning.
You look at the ministry of Prophet Emmanuel Makandiwa, you look at his life. And the word life, it's the most pinnacle and important word that we've seen. And it evolves around him. You come to the stadiums where we hold our Sunday services. The first thing that you'll notice is that the podium, you'll find life written there. Life is everywhere you look around you. Not just in the sense of the word life, but the insignia, the inscription, life. You'll find it written everywhere. And it feels as though finally we have an opportunity now where the Lord has given our Father the gateway to finally explain to us what is it about life. For a very long time, there's a slogan that we used to say at the end of every single service. Behold, I give you power. But you'll find before the 10th anniversary in 2018, the prophet changed that and he said, I have come that you might have life. And since then we've been saying that. But now we want to understand, what is it, Father, about life?
Not just life, spirit life.
Spirit life. What is it about spirit life? What is it that you want to communicate to us about this peculiar kind of life?
You know, when you talk about life, he explained, there is a life that we choose after life. Conscious decision of choosing a life. And he talked about the transcended life.
Right.
Where we surpass the normal life.
That's right.
And we get into that dimension where we experience life. Where it matters most. In that dimension that controls this dimension.
And really the essence of this is you're living a life that is abrogated from living according to the laws of this dimension, the earth dimension. You know, where you are able to transcend. Ascension.
Move into that dimension. Matters most, where decisions are made. And for I think myself and my brothers and sisters that are watching right now, it's very important, very, very important that we not just get the word. Obviously, the word ushers us into that dimension. But that ability, that, I don't know what you can call it, that pushes us to that dimension where we move into that dimension like yesterday. Because we are already in a battle. We are in the middle of a battle.
Right. That's right.
And being in the middle of a battle, what we are being taught right now, for me, it seems like this had to be the foundation of believing on this journey of Christianity.
Right.
And our Father is coming and he's saying, this year. So I'm one of those people that can't wait, because look here. I'll give you a very good example. We have people that are doing things today. They are creating all sorts of havoc in this world. And there's an ability that I believe is a son of the prophet that our Father has and that we have and that I believe will be given this year. And that ability empowers us to tackle our enemy or to fight our enemy in a more empowered manner. And making them, rendering them less effective today. Not tomorrow, today. I await this service, Pastor God.
The year of the spirit life. When you begin to lean into the words spoken by our Father on that very precious night where we crossed over, he raised something that challenged us. He spoke about things that God has made available to us that represent what we need. And those things, God made them available before we even prayed. We strongly believe that this spirit life is going to be accompanied by a redefinition of what prayer is. Because if God has already made available things that we needed before we prayed, then we need to inspect our prayer lives. Are we praying for things that are already rightfully ours? And also do an inventory of what we are, the content of our prayer lives. What is it that we are praying towards? When we are saying we're having discussions with the Lord, what are those discussions about? Are they about things that he has already given us? How effective are we going to be in our prayer lives this year according to the spirit life? Remember our Father saying, it's not going to be about trying to fast or some of the many things that for years men and women of God have defined as ways of finally getting to higher levels maybe of the spirit. But we wait expectantly to hear really from our Father who is at those heights, who's walked the road of hundreds of days of prayer and fasting, who can define to us what the spirit life is, really what prayer is, how can we commune and be led by the Spirit of God.
How we can be ushered into that dimension.
That's right.
And the prescription that allows us to operate in that dimension.
That's right.
There's an amazing point that he highlighted. Obviously, some will say the spirit of just men made perfect. But there's something that touched me. The ability to establish and imprint an activity in the dimension of the spirit with your physical absence. And that thing is established and you are not even present. I yearn for that season, Pastor Kwame, but I yearn for this year.
We are in it now. Finally, we are in it.
That dimension where things can be established, things can be imprinted. That dimension where you can be there and not being there. And you can be there and be there and be there.
We're in it. We're in it. Let's get into this. Finally, like our father said, the devil can never destroy you because everything that God established still remains. So you cannot be destroyed. 2021, the year of the Spirit life, allow us now to introduce our beloved Father this very special morning. Shalom, our Father.
Shalom. How are you doing?
Father, we are good to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much. Father, we are grateful for this lifestyle that you have introduced us into. Father, allow us to speak as your sons and daughters. We take great pride in being part of this house.
Wow.
The house where when God wants to release special things and sacred auxiliary items, elements and powers and materials from heaven, they come from this place.
Sure.
Father, we are so proud of you. Father, thank you.
Say much. My father is looking good.
Yes. From the crossover night, Father, you made it known, even in your dressing.
She's taking good care of me.
Oh, wow. we thank you for that. And
thank you for such
so
kind
much.
Words. Thank you. Thank you.
Father, this is the place. This is this house. This is where the Lord deposits his best.
Indeed.
We thank you so much for being the Lord's best.
We thank God.
Father, we look forward to the year of the Spirit.
Of course. Like you said, this is just the beginning of the year. And we are just starting to step into this spirit life, lifestyle. Looking at the information, the knowledge, the wisdom from above that is waiting to be distributed as we speak. It's quite a lot. Quite a lot. But before we do that, it is important that we also take time to appreciate our people that are with us today, which is an amazing thing, having such a unique gathering every time that we come live. We have to acknowledge your presence and thank you so much for being a part of what the Lord is doing, especially in this time. Thank you for tuning in. And I believe the Lord is going to bless you for that. Thank you for being here. Yes, the Lord is doing quite a lot in this time, given the circumstances surrounding his people. So much is being done in the heavens that requires an eye that is spiritual enough to penetrate into those meetings and get to see what the Lord is up to. It is common knowledge that the devil has a plan. But also, it is an obvious thing that God has the greatest plan of all the plans.
Yes, Father.
So, I'm so happy to be part of those discussions and getting to hear and ultimately to know what the Lord is up to. That doesn't just give us knowledge or information. We are not just informed or alerted of what is coming. But we are given confidence. Because now we know where things are going, where the devil is at the moment. and what is eventually going to transpire. Because we are blessed by the Lord with an eye that sees, ears that hear.
That's right.
And we have all the spiritual senses very, very active. We have been waiting for this time, ready to pick on anything. So, yes, we are dealing with a very profound, one of the most outstanding themes.
Indeed.
Yes, well.
Indeed.
The spirit life. That's the life that God originally intended for us to live. But how that life is lived is the difficult part. Difficult not because it is hard, but because the training that one has to undergo, not many creatures or beings are willing to subject themselves to those kinds of lectures. But the information is available. That is why sometimes when you are to study your Bible, you notice at some point the prophet was giving out reasons why God's people are destroyed, and he said they are lacking only one thing: knowledge. Because there is no knowledge, God's people are perishing. And then he goes on to let us know that inasmuch as they are perishing, they are still God's people. So, lack of information does not disqualify us from being God's people. He is still referring to them as my people. They are my people. So you can be his people, you can be born again and still perish. And the reason behind your destruction is lack of knowledge, not lack of God. You can have God, you can be born again. You in God, him in you, and still perish. So there is information that is needed, which is not even God himself. Because you can have God and still be ignorant.
Right.
Which means there is certain information which is separate from himself, which is not God. How can they be his people and still perish for lack of knowledge? If God is every knowledge.
That's strong, Father.
If God is every knowledge, then there is a point where you have to extract that knowledge from him. Because he is there not just to sit, but he is there to talk. He is there to teach. He is there to inform you. And again, they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And not because the knowledge is not available. He says, for they have rejected knowledge. So you then have to appreciate that.
Yeah, wow.
It's not the scarcity of knowledge. It's available. Enough to help the people avoid destruction. But they have rejected it. It is somewhere. Someone has it. The solutions to problems that we are faced with currently, it's not something that God is going to bring down from heaven and give us a solution or an answer. No. The answer arrived way before the pandemic. But what is happening is the rejection of the knowledge. It is there.
That's wrong, Father.
So, we are going to just focus on something here. looking at the texts that we dealt with during the crossover night, where we see Jesus not willing to get into all sorts of arguments concerning the duality of John, him being John and at the same time being the Elijah that is to come. He didn't want to go much deeper into the matrix of that union. He summarized it and then he brushed it aside by just saying, if you want to believe it, it's up to you. It's not really something that we can spend much of our time talking. If you, because he knew,
right,
for the next 1 week, he was going to be lecturing on that. Because it was like a theme of the entire year. So looking in their heads, how they'd combed their hair, how they were dressed, you see, realize that, no. Guys, we are not here to debate.
Right.
If you want to believe it, it's up to you. That was John. Now, what is very interesting with this theme, especially the text that we started with,
yes, Father,
is that if you want to argue, unless if the argument is just for argument's sake, but if you really want to exercise logic and you want to prove to be a reasonable person in your argument, you don't just look at what Makandio said, because he did something nice. He quoted the scripture. He attached the theme to a particular scripture in the Bible. Now, if a man of God makes that kind of a mistake, and then he tries to lead people astray, what you do as a man of God who wants to help people from being led astray, you have to pick on the exact scripture that has been misinterpreted by Makandiwa, right? And then you attach the most appropriate interpretation of that scripture. You explain to people, you say, ladies and gentlemen, I've listened to this man slaughtering the scripture, misinterpreting the Holy Bible, and this is the text. And then you put it there, you read it out to the people, and people must finally get an interpretation where you explain how John was Elijah,
right?
And how Elijah was John. Because what I say might be wrong, but not until we get the truth from you. We stick to the wrong that we have.
Yes.
Explain how John was Elijah. Even if you are to explain it now, it's because somebody led you there.
Right. There's a foundation of
it. You see, if you are really inspired by God, you should be trailblazing some of these things.
Yes,
go ahead of us and let's get to hear proper interpretation of scriptures from you. Then we follow. I want people to hear this because somebody out there doesn't want you to experience the life that we are talking about.
Thank you, Father.
How was John Elijah?
Right.
If John is the Elijah that was to come and Jesus confirmed it, so who was John?
Where was Elijah in John?
Right. If a human being was created by God to accommodate only one spirit at a given moment, legally, one spirit or one life, you must understand there is the Zoe, the God kind of life, which is not human, which humans are supposed to live. When you attain that kind of life, the Zoe life, the life of God, being a human, you have acquired what is to your alive, another life, which was never meant for you, a God life, life for the gods. Now a human being has transacted and managed to procure another life which wasn't his. When you get born again. Now, explain that.
Right.
Because suddenly you have moved into another realm of existence. Just by receiving the Lordship of Jesus. You are no longer the same guy who was there yesterday. A minute before, suddenly you have become a new creation. Born from above. Never existed before. But no death has taken place. It is salvation that has taken place. Yet there's been a transition from one life into another life without having to first die. There's no death. Pastors, we must be able to look at this. For God so loved the world.
Yes.
He loved it so. He so loved the world that he gave. Loving the world to a point where he gave. He saw it fit to give his only begotten son. So Jesus was given to the world as a gift. That makes him a gift if he was given.
Yes, ma'am.
If it was the world that then received Jesus, it means then the world is gifted. Not just with all the minerals that we can think of, with Jesus. Jesus was given. Then if Jesus was received by the world, that makes the world the most gifted planet in terms of all the galaxies and the planets.
Oh, that's profound, Father.
That world that God gave his only begotten son to, if that world managed to receive the best that God had, then that makes that world the most gifted world.
Wow.
Not because it has the best politicians, but because it has received the best that God had, and he gave it. But whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Whosoever, tall, short, whosoever. And Jesus is not given because of your qualification. Jesus was given because of our lack of qualifications.
Right.
We were sinners. We were sinners, and he loved us. If he loved us in that state of being sinners, that he gave, it is no longer the same love that he has for us after we have received him. It's a different love.
Strong, Father.
The love of God for the world is different from the love of God for his people who have received his son.
That's profound.
Different. He loved us whilst we were still in sin, and he gave us what we never qualified for. In fact, if we had any qualification, sin was the qualification
for us to be given.
Yes. Then he goes on to say, but if you believe in him, so imagine that you have to, there is this capacity in a human being to believe in God even before you receive him. Wow. We had to believe in Jesus for us to enter into eternal life. For us to be able to believe, we have to be living. We have to be alive. There must be a kind of life that we are living.
Right.
In order for us then to believe in him, then in order for us to live another kind of life. But I wouldn't want to think for a moment that these two lives are the same. The life that I'm living before I believe. There must be a very big difference for me then to forego of this lesser and inferior life. We can't be going around preaching and marketing a better life if lives are the same. There is an inferior life, there is a superior life. So imagine a man of God goes public and is preaching and inviting people to come to God. For what? If lives are the same. And again, if a human being only has access to one life, where are you inviting people? They are already living a life. What else are you inviting them for?
Right.
So already you see all these things we are doing, but we are not conscious of the fact that we are aware of dual life, multiple lives that can be lived.
Yes.
Right here.
Yes.
Why is it that the church doesn't have it and yet the justice system has it? There is a certain crime that you commit, many crimes, where you get to a point where the judge can actually give you 5 life sentences. I'm here to really study that. I really want to understand. How can you be sentenced? You spend 5 lifetimes, 6 lifetimes in prison. What is it that they are aware of, yet they don't have enough scriptures? And we have the entire Bible, and we don't believe in some of the contents in the Bible. They are sort of like assuming, in case you escape, in case you fulfill your punishment in one life, you deserve to be punished in another life again. Should you transform yourself, get into another existence, still in that existence, you still have to pay the price. You still have to be punished. There is the likelihood, according to them, of you living another life, which is not this one. Still in that life, you have to continue serving the sentence. How many times do you kill a man?
Alright.
We are here to exist in different forms. Alright. does God, who is a living being, he's a person. God is a personality. Jesus is a personality. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost is a personality. He has feelings. He speaks. He touches. He can be touched. He knows. He's intelligent. He's a being. Yet he comes to live in another being, right? And that being is labeled, called a temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, meaning you accommodate another personality called the Holy Spirit. He comes into you whilst you are living, alive. And then he gets in. And then he lives in you. Jesus says, I and my Father will come into you. So at a certain point, you have multiple lives. You are accommodating several lives within you. So if God can be in you, at the same time, you have to be in yourself, still living your life.
That's right.
A demon can enter into you. Those are personalities.
Yes.
And that demon can come into you and live its life in a human being. So, I ask this question. You now have a legion of demons in one man. That's a city.
Yes, Father. Indeed.
That's a mobile village. You have individuals living in another being. How do you explain that? If God did not give you the capacity to accommodate multiple spirits.
Preach it, Father.
When he said you shall cast out demons, from what?
Right.
From when? What were they doing there? If there's no chance that a spirit can live in another spirit, how do you cast them out? From where? How did the demon got into the person in the first place? You choose for the next 7 days, I'm going to be manifesting in this form. That is the privilege and the heritage that we have in the kingdom of God. You choose. Jesus was in one form whilst they were pushing him beyond the cliff. And he changed into another form. So there is a part of you that people can push. There is a part of you that people can kill.
That's strong, Father.
Then Jesus changed the form. He changed his form. Imagine those guys on their way to Emmaus. The Bible says Jesus appeared in another form. The ability to be transfigured and come up with different manifestations during your one stay on the earth. What is that? There is the life that, if you are to hear what I'm about to say,
yes, Father,
you wish you had had this many, many years ago.
Tell us, Father.
God said something to Isaac.
Yes, Father.
In chapter 26 of the book of Genesis, which was verse 24.
Genesis chapter 26, verse 24.
Yes.
And the Lord appeared unto him.
You see? Who appeared?
The Lord.
The Lord appeared. Mm. So we have a God that what?
Appears.
He appears. Mm. He appears. He appears. He's a God who appears. Take note of that. He appears. Not only does God show you things, he shows himself at some point. It's him that you see at some point. So he appears.
Mm.
And the Lord appeared
unto him,
Isaac, yes. Mm.
The same night. And said.
So he has appeared. Now he say.
Yes.
So he's good at that. He appears and he speaks.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to speak.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I am the God.
And he introduces himself.
Mm.
Cause you are at a level, you're not born again, Isaac. You don't have the right program in your body.
Mm.
You don't have the application within your system that alerts you, that helps you label certain occurrences. You are not, I have to introduce myself.
Mm.
God had to say, I am.
Mm-hmm.
He had to introduce himself to his own creation.
That's right.
Because something has gone wrong in the human body, which has made it now hard for the man to recognize his creator.
Mm.
Now there is need for the Lord to introduce himself.
Mm.
First he has to appear,
mm.
he has to speak,
mm.
and he has to introduce himself.
Mm.
I am
the God of Abraham.
Because you don't know me, but the man that you know is your father Abraham.
Mm. Mm.
So God is willing to identify himself with a certain personality that is known by Isaac.
Because
you don't know God, but you know Abraham, your father. So God is willing to attach himself to something that you know for better understanding.
Strong, Father.
I am whose God?
I am the God of Abraham, thy father.
I'm the God of Isaac.
Abraham.
My God.
My God. Can I talk about this a little bit?
Talk about
yes,
it. Father.
Father. Yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
I am the God of.
Mm.
Somebody has me.
Mm.
I am the God of Abraham.
Mm. Talk about it, Father.
Honestly, there are things about this God that I don't understand. Many things about him that I don't understand. I have to confess.
How can God?
Because I have to then look at the life of Abraham. I should never find a flaw, a weakness,
right?
There should never be any sin found in that kind of Abraham. If God is to identify himself with such a man or to such a man, let me never find Abraham sleeping with his maid. That should never happen.
Mm.
Why is God still at this point identifying himself with a man called Abraham, who went on to sleep with this woman, Hagar, who wasn't his wife, and that was not according to God's plan? God comes to Isaac and he tells him,
was with him when he did that. Because this is what disqualifies most of the men that we see today from having such a God as theirs.
Indeed, Father.
Okay.
Yes.
Because if I'm to follow your God, believe you me, I'm going to look into your life and see whether you qualify to have such kind of a God. Especially with the little that I know about that kind of a God, he can't be your God looking at your life. Yet God is coming to Isaac and he's telling him, I am
the God of Abraham.
I'm the God of Abraham. Yes.
Thy father.
Mm. Now. So he's telling Isaac that I'm not your God. I'm whose God?
Your father's
God. Your father's God.
Mm.
We start from there. If you want to inherit me from now, at least you know. I've been with your father. Yes?
Fear not.
Now, this is your portion. Because you are connected to that kind of a father who is a God like myself. There's no reason for you to fear.
Fear not.
Don't be afraid. Because I'm with
for
you.
For I am with thee.
I'm with you. Now he's going to let him know why he is with him.
And will bless thee.
Now I'm with you, number one, and will bless you. That's a process. Blessing you is a process.
Wow.
So you can be with God now and not have the blessing that God is about to talk about. It's a different kind of blessing. It's not just a spiritual blessing. It's a physical manifestation of material things. So I am with you, present tense.
Yes.
And I will bless you. There is a process.
Yes.
I hope you're following that.
We're following, Father.
Yes.
We're following.
So that's why having him and being born again, it's instant. You have him now. Not 2 days. But for you to get blessed, I will, because there are certain requirements.
Right. Wow. Wow. Wow.
There are things that you have to do for you to attain the blessings.
Right.
Okay?
Yes, Father.
Okay?
Yes, Father.
It's a different script.
Ah.
But for you to have me, you have already qualified yourself for me. I'm now with you. I'm in you. But as of blessing you, I will bless you.
And will bless thee and multiply thy seed.
I will bless you and also I will multiply your seed. So don't be shocked when God finally appears also to his seed.
Right.
He's appearing there not on the basis of their qualification, but because he's promising the Father here.
Yes.
So you can have God reappearing throughout generations because of one man who was promised.
Wow.
So he's coming to Isaac,
not
because Isaac has prayed, but because he promised Abraham that I will bless your seed. So for Abraham's seed also to experience the blessing, God is bound to appear to the seed despite their qualifications.
Wow.
Despite their lack of qualifications.
Wow.
He has to appear. Okay?
Yes, Father.
So God is appearing to Isaac. And he's about to let us know why he has come, why he is with him, and why Isaac should not be afraid, and why God is ultimately going to bless him. There is a reason in that same passage of scripture. Go on and read.
And multiply thy seed.
Thy seed shall be multiplied.
For my servant Abraham's sake.
For my servant Abraham's sake. So this appearance to you is for his sake. You must never be afraid because I am with you. I am with you because of his sake. And I will bless you for his sake. And I will multiply you and even bless your seed, but for his sake. There's a point of reference. So everything that is ever going to happen to Isaac It is attached somehow to the covenant that God had with Abraham. So here's the question. If you are blessed, you are blessed for whose sake? If you are experiencing joy and peace in your marriage, it is for whose sake? The nice car that you are driving, it is for whose sake? That's the question that you must be able to answer today. Because when God is giving you a life, somebody that you know or that you don't know is behind the handing over of that life. God is saying, if you, I don't know how to explain this part. I will bless you for his sake, not for your sake.
Thank you, Father.
It is not for your sake. Isaac is being told, your money is not your money. Your lifespan is not according to you. It's for somebody else's sake. There must be a father behind you. And you get the blessing, you get the security, you get God's protection for their sake. If you don't answer that question, then we are not going anywhere. Certain things that are going to happen to you, you must be able to look at certain occurrences and say, who is behind this?
Thank you, Father.
And be able to know it is for his sake that I got this.
Thank you, Father.
Father.
So, let's say Abraham was alive and he comes to Isaac's house and he takes a goat, he kills it, he eats it. Isaac should never be heard saying, Abraham took my goat, because the goat was for his sake, Abraham's sake, in case he needs it. So what is happening here is an inheritance of a personality. Abraham has outlived himself. He has gone beyond his line of existence physically. If things are still occurring according to him, if his character is still being consulted after he is buried, if God is running terms according to Abraham after he is gone, he's in existence, but in another form. But Isaac's willingness to inherit the character of Abraham is what qualifies him now for the blessing that he wasn't qualified for. God is saying, I'm doing this for Abraham's sake. For Abraham's sake. I'm blessing you for Abraham's sake. So who is Abraham if he is God? Why do we see a certain measure of God's manifestation and even God's appearance? And he's saying it is for the sake of Abraham. What is that? You know what? God found it necessary to let this boy know. But young man, whatever you are going to see happening to from today, you must understand it is for your father's sake.
Right.
It is him.
Right.
He paid the price. But you are having this because you have inherited that spirit. You are somehow connected to Abraham. So you are entitled to these manifestations. I have to look after you. Because of Abraham. Where is Abraham at this point? Where, if I'm to leave you unprotected and something happens to you, he's going to ask me, how come my son is not protected? Where is Abraham? If he cannot raise that as a question to God, to say, why isn't my son protected? To a point where God has to protect the son for the sake of Abraham. Where is Abraham? You have to make a decision.
Right.
You see what is happening? God is not just appearing to Isaac, just for the sake of appearing to Isaac. Isaac has done something also, you must understand. He acknowledged his father's work. That's what he did. Isaac went into the land of the Philistines from the first verse of chapter number 26. And the king of the Philistines there was Abimelech. And because Isaac didn't want to be killed for the sake of Rebekah, he lied that she's my sister. The same way his father lied.
Yes.
Abraham lied, and God is coming and is saying, I am the God of your father who lied. If you are ever going to consider men's weaknesses, you are most likely never going to have a God to follow. It's unfortunate. You are never going to have a God to follow. Was Paul perfect? No. Paul comes out to write an article about himself, not in the newspapers, but in the Bible. He did come out in the papers, would have said there is an exposure.
Right.
Paul is being exposed. And even his children were going to come out and defend him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's him writing to all of us that the things that I want to do, I can't. But the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Come on, Paul, let us know. What are those things? If they are good things, let us know. Because there are people in our generation who thinks that you are much better than all of the men of God that are in existence currently. They think because you wrote scriptures that we have in the Bible, you had no weakness whatsoever. Some of them are even men of God that have that level of ignorance in them. They have a man confessing for himself that he is weak. If the things that Paul wanted to do and is not able to do are not good, and if the things that Paul doesn't want to do and he finds himself doing are good, why is there such such rage over that behavior that he has? Why is he not happy with himself? If what he's doing is good, if everything that Paul is doing is good, there is something wrong. He's finding himself doing things that are not right. Yet he wrote the scriptures. And God was with him. Oh.
Strong, Father.
This is the part that I want people to understand. I want you to read that. Chapter number 26. Maybe start from verse number 18.
That's right. Genesis chapter 26, verse 18.
Yes. At this point, Isaac is in Gerar.
That's right.
The land of the Philistines.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse number 18. Okay. I want people to understand that there was famine.
Mm-hmm.
There was famine in that land. Okay. And God warned him not to depart because of famine. And the Bible even tells us that there was famine, another famine, not the same famine that was in there during Abraham's time. So during his father there was a famine. Now during his time there's another famine. And God tells him not to run away from this kind of famine. Okay? It's a different approach. Unlike his father, don't run away. Stay in this land where there is famine.
Wow.
I want you to get this. Because God is about to do something with him that he didn't do with his father.
stay in the land of famine. There is famine. Like if you look at where we are going as nations right now, closing every single business, we are heading towards famine, serious famine. No business is ever going to survive this agenda. Until every man is brought to his knees and you are begging the government for your survival. Everyone has to be turned into a beggar. Famine in the land. How are we going to survive that? The problem with most of the leaders that we have in Africa, do you know that you have more information than they have concerning what is happening on the ground? You have watched more videos. You are more, much closer to reality than they are.
Right.
People are being drawn away from their governments so that they submit under one government, one system that is coming. Okay? But for us to have control over people, we must be in control of their money. We must be in control of their livelihoods. We must be in charge. There is a serious famine that is coming. So how are we going to run away from that? Is there a word from the Lord? Do we stay? Do we run away? Where do we go? And the Lord said that to Isaac. Stay. And in that same land, he got 100-fold harvest in the time of the famine. And someone has to explain how that happened. Because there is no water, there is no rain. And then you get 100-fold. 100-fold that you don't get when it's raining. So the crops were feeding on what? If there's only one life to the crops. How does that crop know its owner that I belong to Isaac? I have to behave differently from every other crop. How does that crop know? Don't joke with this kind of a life.
Yes, Father.
Some people don't be, you highlighted something when you read it very soon. You highlighted something when we were just starting that being there spiritually and do something physically and then it stays.
Yes.
Someone looks at that and says that is fiction, that is movie, that cannot happen. Do you realize where God was when this earth was formed? God had to do this spiritually. He visited this place spiritually. And what he formed was physical. And it still stands today. Today, this physical earth that we can touch was formulated by a spirit. Where was he? And it's there. It's there. So if you think spirits can't go to a place and do something that stays, that is tangible, how did God came up with a physical earth? Him being a spirit. You have so many things to explain. You see, if God did this in his absence physically and he came up with something physical like this, and he gave you the same spirit, by giving you the same spirit, he gave you the same ability. Isaac is in a land where there is famine, and then he got 100-fold. Guess what? The 100-fold was as a result of a famine. Why not ask for famine then, if that's the case? How is it? Okay, read verse number 18.
Verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham.
For the Philistines had what?
Stopped them.
After?
The death of Abraham.
Before?
After.
After the?
Death.
The death of who?
Abraham.
Okay. So after the death of Abraham, the Philistines came and stopped the wells that Abraham's servants had dug.
Yes, ma.
Right?
Yes, ma.
Uh-huh.
And he called their names.
Right. And then they covered the wells with earth.
Mm-hmm.
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 Is it there? Okay. Yes. Read verse 15.
Verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth.
They had stopped the wells and filled what?
Filled them.
Filled them with what?
With earth.
Yes.
And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art mightier than we.
They were not comfortable with his strength. Because he's having a hundredfold. So they don't understand this kind of a lifestyle.
Right.
Go find another place elsewhere, not here.
Mm-hmm. And Isaac departed thence.
Yes.
And pitched his tent in the valley of Gera.
Now he went to the lowest part in Gera. Yes.
And dwelt there.
He dwelt there.
And Isaac digged again the wells of water.
He digged again. That's the beginning. That's how you contact now the spirit.
Wow. All right.
Acknowledgement of the work that was done. This is how you inherit the spirit of another personality. Hear this now. He goes on to search for the exact location where there used to be a well that his father's servants had dug. And he goes there. He says, dig here.
Uh-huh. And Isaac digged again the wells of water.
Again. There is a digging again.
Yes,
of the wells of water. Yes.
Which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father.
They had digged in the days. So in the days of his father, there was a work. There was a digging.
Yes.
In the days of his father, there was a digging.
Yes.
That took place.
Yes.
And he's coming not to undermine that work, but to revive it.
For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham.
After the death of Abraham. They stopped the waters. Yes.
And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them.
I said this before, I have to say it again. I hope people this time will not miss it. There is a well somewhere, now covered. Isaac has to identify the well, dig it, find water, and then give the well the same name
as the father.
So two things have to happen here.
Right.
You have to be accurate in locating the well, finding the well where it used to be, because covering it with earth, it means that place looks like any other place.
Indeed, Father. Yes. Yes.
So identifying that prophetic grace to identify where the well was before. Number one. Now, and you employ physical people to work on a spiritual discovery. Then you open up. Once you have found water, you have to tap into the same name that existed before. You have to locate the name of that well. So he's saying, I found the well, now I have to name it after the same name. It was named by my father. I don't have to change things here.
Right.
There was a reason why my father named it that. So now there is a well. So he's opening up a well and then he's giving them the same names.
And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying...
The herdmen, they strove with the herdmen of Isaac.
Saying, the water is ours.
This is our water. Notice they are not saying this is our well. They say this is our water, like we have ministries even in most of the countries that owns the water. The well is yours, but the water is ours. That's our water. Okay? Yes?
The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek.
Esek.
Yes, Father.
Meaning strife.
Yes, Father.
Or contend. Or being contentious. Okay?
Yes, Father.
So he is naming it after there was a contention. But the name had to be the exact name.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yes, 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 you understand now.
Same battles.
But his father never had that battle. Notice, they only took the well and covered the wells after Abraham had died.
Okay.
Yet Abraham had called it Esek. Abraham had named it Esek. Strife. Though there was no strife. So there was a prophetic name attached to the well. Yet to manifest. It was yet to manifest. How do you... How prophetic was Abraham to know that in the future my children are going to drink from this and there's going to be a strife, and then he gives it a name that later on manifested? Those, you see, the Bible is saying he gave them the exact names.
He called their names after the names by which his father had called them.
Had called them. So it means his father had called it Esek. Strife. He called it strife. Yet there was no strife. And Isaac comes and he digs that same well and there was a strife. And then he names it. That's how he identified. Because of that conflict, it helped him pick on the name, on the exact name.
Wow, wow, wow.
Okay. He goes on again too.
Because they strove with him.
So the name was because they strove.
Yes, one.
Yet he picked on the exact name. Okay.
And they digged another well.
Another well.
And strove for that also.
And again, yes.
And he called the name of it Sitna.
Sitna. Again, is the same meaning. They fought over that.
Strive.
Strive again. Yet these wells only got covered when Abraham had died.
Yes.
So during his time, no problem.
No problem.
Yet he had named them after that conflict that was coming in the future. Then he went on to dig another one. And he called that one Rehoboth.
Yes, Father. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And from that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us.
Rehoboth means room or expansion or establishment. For that one, there was no war.
Wow. Wow.
So notice, when Abraham went on digging these wells, he knew two of these wells, there's going to be a conflict. And he named them after the conflict that he was foreseeing in the future.
Wow.
There was a Rehoboth, which Abraham named first before Isaac named it, which means room. So finally, when my son get to this particular well, he's established. He would have acquired experience throughout different conflicts. He mustn't get to Rehoboth first. Okay?
Yes, Father.
My son should go through certain training.
Right.
Of acquiring properties and losing properties.
Mm-hmm.
Until he gets to this point, when he digs this one now, let this one be established.
Mm.
So it was a path that Abraham had already constructed for his son.
Mm.
Whoever that son was, who is going to come and revive my work and not undermine what I've done.
Mm.
Here he will have a conflict, here another conflict, but if he keeps on digging and not neglect or forgo or undermine my work, eventually he will touch on one well where my son is going to be established and there's not going to be any warfare around that water. Not the first, Rehoboth was not the first. It had to be the third one.
Yeah.
How is it that whenever I try to touch on my father's well, there is conflict?
Mm.
There is a spirit that is trying to chase sons from their father's work.
Yeesh.
There is something very important that I want you people to see. Why would you go and dig the same well which has been covered for years now? It is sealed. It is hard. Instead of finding another new well.
Yes.
Why? Why?
Mm.
This is the part that is very, very important. Isaac knows what it takes. That it's not hard to dig. As it is hard to find.
Right.
Isaac knows the cost that his father incurred in identifying the pathways of water, which calls for a very, very serious qualification. Anyone can dig, but not anyone can find water. There are streams of water underneath, and fathers are aware. They know where water is found. They have done an investment already. My father can never be wrong. He wouldn't have dug this place if there was no stream.
Mm.
So I should not come now and start to experiment with my own latest technology trying to find water.
Mm.
The job was already done. You see, you have to be that smart as a son. Otherwise, if you are not going to appreciate the work that was done already before you came, even the cross, you're never going to appreciate what Jesus did on the cross. You're going to require another Jesus of your time to come and die for you.
Strong father.
He knows what it takes, what his father did to find the water. Why should I start searching? Why should I also be fasting for the same thing that was already discovered by my father?
Right.
My father got it.
Mm.
He knows how to hear from God. Isaac would have gone to the mountain and seek for his own special anointing, which is brand new. But he knows there's been an investment already.
Mm.
My father worked so hard to establish the water pathways. And what I need to do now is to just identify those places. Not to look for the water, but just look for the covered well.
So far.
The Philistines were smart in covering the well with earth.
Mm.
So that it becomes just like any other place. That's exactly what the devil is doing. Most of the sons that we see nowadays and daughters, they are scrambling in the dark, trying to find God. Because the devil knew where they were going to find God, let's cover it with earth. They are looking for God, yet God is so close to them. They have abandoned the work. Look at all those great prophets that came way before us. Look at them, the work that they did. Should we start again all over to look for the same God that they had?
No.
What a waste of time.
Yes.
So Isaac is coming, he's saying there was a well here, it means there was water. Let's dig here. It means less labor again, because all the rocks have been brought out. So you just have to do it again, but it's not as hard as it was before. And you are assured that as you keep on going deeper and deeper, you get to the water level. Because your father identified, located that place for you. And not for you to pray for that again. Because he did that. That is why now God is appearing unto him. He didn't appear before that. He's appearing after that.
After.
If you can find the work that your fathers did, then you are entitled to this kind of appearance. Wow. I'm appearing to you now. And how did he know? Okay, can you imagine, pastors? We have got three wells. This one is what?
Esek.
There is Sitna, right?
Yes, Father.
And there is Rehoboth. These were named before the strife.
Yes.
So Abraham knew.
Yes.
If only I could have a son who would not give up. He comes here, he starts a project. It fails. If only he's never going to give up. And then he goes there. No matter what he goes through, he will not give up. Finally, that son will eventually find Rehoboth. There's going to be a room for him in this kingdom. So, do you know there are men that have gone ahead of us, that have worked so hard? They have developed their spiritual character to a point where when they are gone, that kind of a character cannot die just like that. There is a spiritual bank where spiritual deposits are being made by spiritual individuals. And those deposits will remain there waiting for a spiritual somebody who comes somewhere to make a withdrawal. Our generation is suffering. They are searching for God everywhere, leaving him in their house. They go to the mountain, search for a God that they have left in their house. So blind. Why? They don't want to have anything to do with what was already done for them. If you can be blessed for Abraham's sake, I'll pick it up from there because I feel like I'm about to start now touching on the real matter. But time.
Thank you.
If God is blessing Isaac for Abraham's sake, there is a level of success that you are not qualified for, that you will have. Still, as unqualified as you are, you will have it because of someone's sake. Who is that someone? The power that people will wonder, they will question you, how did you pray to get this amount of spiritual power? It will be according to a forefather. There is a patriarch somewhere, because there are men that have died.
died in the past, and there are those that have transformed themselves into other different manifestations of existence. Not every God's general has died. Some would unite. God would tell some of them, you will join your forefathers. Where are they gathered? Where are they congregating? Some of them, either because of death, some because of a different form that they had to put on. They entered into a city called Jesus, where whatever lives there is immortal. So when you are in that city of the immortals, you play by different rules. Whilst you are there, existing, people that you have left in an inferior dimension have a chance to tap into your activities and to operate by your regulations and by your laws. Sometimes it takes the prophetic for you as Moses to look back as a prophet and see what God did before even Adam was formed. It would make sense to start from Adam going forward. Would have thought it was Adam telling his children what he saw God doing. But going beyond Adam and telling us what God said before there was anyone to hear what God was saying, it calls for the prophetic upon Moses to write, and God said, let there be light. And he heard God say, and also he saw what God saw. And there was light. It takes the prophetic, and not just the prophetic. And not just the prophetic. Not just the prophetic. Because there's knowledge about the past. That you can access through certain individuals. And there is knowledge about the future that you can also access. Because there are individuals that lived before their time, and they are yet to live again. And they bring to you technology which is 400 years to come. You can have it now. Because there's a whole mix up of existences that is happening now. There is a world to come. And in that world to come, there are people that are meant to exist. Because after a certain generation is gone, there's a completely new generation. You know that.
Yes,
there's a generation that was there before.
Yes,
that we no longer have.
Yes,
they've grown old. They've all died.
Mm.
And we are another generation. There's another generation that is coming. That generation that is coming, hear me, that generation is already in existence. Just like we were already in existence before God formed us, we were in Him. As spirits.
Yes, Father. Yes, Father.
What some of these people simply wait for are their physical bodies. They've been watching whatever we were doing. They've been following through our economics, our politics, the way we are doing it. They are noticing every mistake that we are making before their time. And finally, when they are dispatched from God's existence into their physical bodies, they are more smart than us. They may not repeat the mistakes that we made because they were watching as we were making those mistakes.
Strong Father.
Those individuals are already in existence. Children yet to be born, their spirits are already in existence, waiting for their physical manifestations. Okay. If they are in God already, and God is in eternity, meaning He's covering both the past and the future. So where are these children coming from? Coming from a God who is in the future. You are coming from the future. I want people to understand something here.
I don't know. This is serious.
This God that has given us this life, He wants us to upgrade.
Thank you, Father.
This kind of life. He wants us to move forward. You keep on reading about Isaac, you hear that he became great. He went forward. He became big and big, and he was improving on a daily basis. You are meant to improve. Your life is supposed to become better and better and better.
Verse 13, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great.
What an achievement. Look at how the Bible puts it. Very profound. And that is your heritage.
I see, Father.
That is your portion.
I see, Father.
You will be blessed for somebody else's sake.
I see, Father.
You have to understand that part. You are going to see things happening in your life, which if you are to measure what you have done and you look at what has come out, you will understand there is a motivation. God is being motivated by a certain covenant that He never made with you. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Abraham. Abraham was not even a superman. Abraham had challenges. Abraham had certain things that he was praying, believing God for, and it never happened. No child. Yet he has the most powerful God. Is Abraham a man that you can follow nowadays? A man of God that old, no child, and he tells you God can do it for you. With this generation that we have nowadays, forget it. Forget it. This generation that we now have of these men of God and their followers and so on, these are not for men for the kingdom of God. I remember another man of God that I asked a question. I took his Bible. I said, so are you telling me this is everything that God said? Is this Bible complete? He was quiet for a moment, and then he said, no, it's not complete. And I knew he remembered what he had heard me say.
So he knew where I was going.
He said, no, it's not complete. Then I said, so if you say we have to do it according to God's word,
What do you mean? Do you mean this?
Right.
Only.
Right.
And I asked him a very simple question. If we are to do away with the prophetic, how else are we going to know the other part? If this is not everything that God commands us to do, apart from the prophetic, how then are we going to know the missing parts? You are agreeing with me, there is something else that God said we must do, which is not in this book.
Mm.
Yet God is expecting us to behave that way.
Mm.
Without the prophetic. Because so now when we are coming to prophesy, we're not just coming to prophesy to people, we are coming to prophesy and be able to read even what was not written, even what, that which was written and was not made part of this book.
Mm. Strong form.
That's how we then get to know what else did God say concerning this matter. How do you heal this particular person from a disease? Can you access other scriptures, manuscripts that are not part of the Bible, and still be reading the Bible prophetically? Can you do that? Yet the man had agreed that it's not all of it. Once you have said that, you've admitted there must be something else that God said about this situation that is not in the Bible. So how do we get to that page, that paragraph, without the prophetic? You see now?
Yes,
so for us to be able to see things, that's why sometimes if I'm to read the scripture, like you open any scripture, I'm reading it, I don't just tap into the Spirit of God. I'm given the understanding of the man who was writing.
Mm.
Profound.
Profound.
Oh. That's something else.
Given by who?
The man.
If you have no access to the spirit of the man, you have no access to his writings. You can't understand. That is what you call context. You're trying to run away from the spirit. You must understand the motivation, the inspiration of the man. You need the equivalent spirit, same amount of inspiration that was upon the man who was writing to come upon you in order for you to be able to read and understand what the man was writing about. That same environment has to be recreated supernaturally in order for you to be able to access secrets in the Bible.
I receive, Father. I receive.
Those men have worked so hard to develop their spiritual personalities.
Mm.
And that investment is still available. We have to dig the wells, find their water. Once we have found their water, their God is going to appear to us. Their God, who protects, who blesses, is going to appear to the sons. But not until sons starts recognizing the work that the forefathers did. There are people in the Bible who worked for God and must be honored for that. But outside of the Bible, most of the men of God who were used by God, majority of them are not in the Bible. You must understand. Few people are in the Bible. Very few. God can't be that poor.
Mm.
Majority of the men of God that God used are outside of the Bible.
Mm.
So if you are going to believe only those that are in the Bible, you're going to be limited.
Mm.
Limited. So I'll do another teaching.
Thank
where
you.
I touch every single man of God in the Bible and I show you their challenges, their weaknesses, and yet still God was with them.
Wow.
And their people during their time were not willing to follow them, but it is our people during our time that are willing to follow them, which means we will also be followed by another generation that is coming, which is not ours. That is the trend. Okay.
Sad.
People, as long as you're still alive, people, they don't want to believe in you. You have to die first.
It's sad, Father.
You see?
Yeah.
But this is what is happening. There is another life that I'm going to start touching on.
Thank you, Father.
The spirit life.
We want that.
And I'll give you next time. We'll start from the book of Samuel. And I'm going to show you what is happening right now, and even to some of you people listening to me. You are going to enjoy this kind of life that is coming. So, child of God, apart from what we are seeing happening now, I want you to be strong, because for someone's sake, God is going to protect his own. I said it during the prophetic, that as people are dying, as people are falling like leaves, God will give power
to his people.
To his people, exactly. God will give power to his people. We are in a state of confusion right now, where no explanation. There's no explanation whatsoever coming to us from the responsible people. They want to bring this earth to a standstill until finally that one president emerges. This is where we are going, whether people like it or not. This is where we are going. These men, they've sat down, they've come up with the last strategy. Every other government is going to be dissolved. One world order. But for there to be order, there has to be chaos. For there to be chaos first, it has to be created. For that chaos to be solved by a man, it has to be a man who created the chaos. They wanted it to go the way it is going. My question to my learned brothers and sisters out there is, you had a vaccine for the COVID-19, and before that was distributed and given to people, here comes another transformed virus. It is you, the educator, telling us that a virus doesn't stay in one form. It evolves. It changes. Which means the COVID that we now have is no longer the same that we had. So the treatment you had was for the former COVID-19. Are you still going to proceed and give us the same vaccine that you had prepared for the virus that is no longer in existence? Learned people, when are we going to wake up? They have said it, they have declared it. Pastors, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, Father.
They say viruses mutate.
Indeed,
they
Father.
Change.
Yes, Father.
They become better, they improve.
Yes, Father.
Isn't that so?
It is.
Yet even the first vaccine that we had was wrong for the condition. When I came out talking about this, they had not yet started talking about the vaccine. People should keep that in mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Father.
Some people might come today talking about vaccine and so on and so on and so on. Because it's because that's what is being said now. We came early. And I warned people. I said, this thing that is coming, whoever is getting this vaccine and dies, millions, even billions are being put into media houses, making sure none of that is reported. And I told you, big people, influential people, will be vaccinated on live broadcasts.
Indeed, Father.
And I said, most of it is going to be water. Before they started saying, I'm going to be doing it live.
on television.
Mm. Yes, Father.
You said it.
Mm.
You said it, Father. They are not going to stop until the number gets to 1 billion. That is the population that they want. 1 billion is the maximum. And that way, the earth becomes easy to govern.
Mm.
Keep on talking about this. Then very soon you realize that we are moving into a frame mind that has never been seen in the past. Our fathers have never seen this.
Mm-hmm.
How can they be admitting that there is 85%, 90% recovery now, and they say it's even worse? It's a shame. And most of our people are just being used. Do you know, but even the most learned person in that field, if he is to come out right now, the most educated of all the doctors, if he comes out right now and he releases a video and he tells people the truth about what is coming. Do you know some of the politicians in Africa, they will watch that video 2 years from now. They are watching something else. You wonder what they are watching.
Sad.
1 world order. 1 currency that you carry in your body. Everything has to be determined from the top.
Mm.
And he will cause many to worship him.
Yes.
That is where we are going. So if you think there is any other theme that is going to help you escape this, think again. It has to be the spirit life.
Yes, Father.
And whilst that is happening, that is when we are going to manifest. Wait and see.
Yes.
Wait and see.
Yes, Father.
What some humans can do.
Yes.
Yes, Father. Yes, Father.
Yes, Father.
The life that is lived after death, you see us living that kind of a life.
Mm. Mm.
Because I agree with you, it has to be lived after death. But whose death? He died.
Hmm.
After his death, watch how his sons are going to manifest.
Thank you, Father.
This is your time.
Yes.
While they are terrified, don't be afraid.
Mm.
God said, I'm with you
mm.
because of a covenant that I made with your forefathers. We are the most fortified family.
Oh, yes.
Most protected generation.
Yes.
Whatever they are planning, it will not come to pass. Why? Because God is on our side. We are in him and he is in us.
Mm.
Let's stop there for today. Thank you, pastors, for having me here.
Wow.
Thank you, Father.
Wow.
Give us
spirit life. Father, if there's ever been a point where I realize that inheritance can be a key, it's today. Father, this life that we've all yearned for, this life that we're all looking for, the spirit life, to imagine that to Isaac, it started off with acknowledging, recognizing, and locating that well, and redigging. One intriguing fact, you can use those that are not spiritual to do a spiritual job and achieve the intended result.
Mm.
And getting the water and naming the wells exactly like the fathers did.
Mm.
Father, I never thought that inheritance could be a key to this life that we are looking for.
But you have just given us that, Father. You have just explained it to us. How I wish this was only for pastors.
It's for God's children.
Yeah. Thank you so, so much. Indeed, we are in that year.
Yeah.
The year of the spirit life. Mm. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
You're welcome.
Father, we are happy. We are excited. We are charged up for this year, yeah. Father. Father, when we look back at the year of excellence and we go back and we hear what you said and the teachings that you gave us in that time from Zaphnath Paneah, the two anointings, unusual authority over demons, when we would ask you questions, it would always boil down to how do we achieve this? And your one answer was always, you need the spirit of an experienced individual.
Yes.
And we would always wonder, what is this thing? What is this spiritual idea that our Father keeps pushing into us? And finally, the year has arrived.
Mm.
Father, we are so appreciative.
Yeah.
Father, we are so thankful that finally now, out of all the years, we finally feel like each year, each theme was a piece of this key now.
Yeah. Then
we are finally holding.
We are there now.
Thank you so much, yeah. Father. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
2021, the year of the spirit life. Let's grab a hold of this lifestyle and live it to its fullest under the leadership of the Lord's friend, Prophet Emmanuel Makandiwa. We're excited. Until we meet again next time. Shalom.